Wait, now.
Oh, hi again, everyone.
They didn't hear the first one.
Hi, everyone.
Hi for the first time forever.
We've never even done this before.
Never been here. Uh-oh, they heard
the radio
for a hot second.
We should do a whole podcast, Sidstock podcast, where we're like corresponding with the radio. We're just talking back to the radio, like the radio is talking to us.
We should do it. I'm going to do this first, because... Hi, Ball, please send me a free case of Henchy drinks.
That'd be cool.
Your shit's expensive.
Especially when I spill it on myself.
It's okay, it's using it. It still counts. I did no prep work.
For Sidstock?
Yeah, I have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, no, we never do.
I know.
That's kind of the beauty of it.
I never seem to know that we know. That we don't.
That we don't
know what we're going to do. That was kind of a lusky. I found out yesterday. While you look, I'll tell a quick story.
Okay.
I found out yesterday that... Watsky used to do a lot of stage diving, and one time dove from some lighting rig that was almost three stories high at a music festival where they didn't really know who he was that well, so he totally misread the crowd, and nobody caught him.
Oh, what?
I should say two people caught him.
Did he hurt himself?
Yes. He fucked himself up real bad and injured the shit out of the two people he landed on. Apparently, he apologized profusely. Knowing Watsky, he probably...
Yeah,
like,
felt really,
just,
really
didn't
bad.
Didn't just apologize, but, like, yeah. So he says he's going to cool it on that for a little while. That's why Watsky's not super known for stage diving anymore. That was, like, early on.
So, today... I'm going to say we talk about the nuance of what's not safe for work.
You talk about that. I'll talk about the horrible price of energy drinks, and we'll just not even have a podcast together.
So, when you talk about...
We're not going to.
Oh, yeah. Well, are we not? Because it sounded like, you know, interesting.
It's not much to complain about. These energy drinks are kind of expensive because they're sort of a niche thing, and they're...
It's called niche.
Are sort of expensive. It's arch thing,
I
so...
I believe it's called arch trees.
Sure.
That was me quoting myself from one of the other things we do.
Whoa.
Hashtag meta. Yeah, no, it's kind of hot.
It's fucking hot.
Well, I was just prepared for, like, the
impending snowpocalypse?
Yeah, like, where it's like, if the degrees of the Earth change over 0.1 degrees, we shall have more snow than any man has seen in
our life. Yeah, they're threatening the greatest snowpocalypse that's ever happened. They got all the CDOT signs lit up, and they're all, like, I don't know if you saw it. They're like, CDOT's ready for the snowpocalypse. Are you... They didn't say snowpocalypse.
I wish,
like,
they would.
Warning.
I would take
too.
It more seriously.
I would take them exactly the same amount of seriously, which is go to hell. Except I do appreciate that they plow the roads. CDOT, give us money. They don't have any money.
A dangerous like proposal. Sponsored Sidstock, now sponsored by CDOT.
I'm sure we can get a
contract. Let's only get sponsored by people who use acronyms. Like, so we can just be like throwing acronyms all over the place.
Yes.
NSFW. Speaking of,
yeah,
nice. I hope they can hear this on the.
They tip. You know, actually, I was listening, and we were all worried about, like, the defroster and shit. You could barely hear it.
Well, let's just turn all of the things on and see if it's...
No.
Okay, so... you'll probably notice that... well, I don't know. I guess this is what I noticed.
The dead silence is definitely bad, though. We gotta keep that tone. Oh, you know, you could have these vents on. That might help.
So, basically, not safe for work, NSFW, if you will... is a tag that people use for content.
It actually takes longer to say NSFW than does not safe for work.
I mean, you're almost right. We'll time it later, and we'll give you guys feedback on our results.
Science!
Is a tag people use for media content, whether that be music or pictures or movies or YouTube videos or whatever, that lets people know...
I think our listeners know what content is.
I know, but I don't know what else to say yet.
I know.
So I'm trying to lead myself into it. Well, like... It's a tag people use to tell other people that they probably shouldn't be doing what they're about to fucking do at work. Like, hey,
you could get fired for looking
boobs in it. Hey, this is someone being dismembered. Hey, this has questionable content for the work environment. But what I've noticed over my life is that the majority of times I talk about weird shit, I'm probably actually at work. But like, and maybe this is because of how my work was last, like where I used to work last and the people that I worked with. But we worked in a lab that had a firewall. So, like, we were in a windowless room, like, with three doors that were really loud to open so you could hear when people were coming in and out. And it was, like, very thick walls. So, like, you could say anything you wanted to as long as the person that you wanted to talk about wasn't in the room. They wouldn't really hear you.
Right.
So, not that we were talking shit about, well, that's not true. We were talking shit about people at that company because there's a lot of shitty people at that company. But we were also talking about some of the weird shit, like the stuff you don't say.
Weird shit.
The stuff that if you were to say in public would like promote all those horrible kinds of cultures that we try to stop, you know, because we were guys and we're jerks. And,
fucking.
But like, this is something that we had to talk about the other day. We wrote an article on. What are you in this lane for? Any question? Are you?
No. I want to be in the left lane when I turn.
That's fair.
To go north.
Oh, we do the foresight.
I just thought it was moving faster, but apparently I was wrong.
I didn't say foreskin there, so.
Oh, foreskin.
But so I'm wondering, like, people say not safe for work, but is it? I mean, it's about testing that kind of culture at work before you can say what something's not safe for work or not, right? I mean, what instances do you see? Like, what kind of characters at work are you trying to not safe for work yourself from?
Well, I got.
Yes, that is a verb now.
Yeah, no, you can geron the fuck out of it. Geron the fuck out of it? Geron the fuck out of it.
Geron.
I only ever read that book.
That means you can verbify something.
Yeah, you verbificate a word.
Just geron, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's really fun to gentrify stuff.
No, that's not what that means.
Oh.
You're not wrong. You're just an asshole. Okay, well, apparently I was not the only person to think this is a good idea. But I'm going to go around. Vroom, vroom. And they can definitely hear that, I found out. Especially the stunned silence as everyone in the car is panicking.
Like, oh God, he's accelerating.
But hey, I just got my water pump replaced and my belts, so.
All right, that has nothing to do with that.
No, but I just felt like sharing because okay. I spent a lot of money on it. And
it's an investment. Cars are an investment.
Yeah, well, 90,000 miles, that's what you get. Anyway, I would say there's two veins I can go down as far as the NSFW is concerned. One is
Nisfa.
What I would consider to be the true purpose of Christmas, of that word. The other is to identify specifically what you're talking about. So I'm gonna address what you were talking about.
Okay.
And then loop back around as to the true meaning of NSFW, which is how I'm gonna pronounce it.
Yeah, let's just make various sounds and people and tell people, like, you know, whenever you can't really understand what we're saying, we're probably saying NSFW.
NSFW.
I
prefer the tag explicit, actually.
Yeah, well, that is, to me, it's a different tag.
Right,
yeah, okay.
But anywho.
That's trigger words, yada.
In addition, we're triggering ourselves left and right here. Left and right are both triggers.
Talking about.
So as far as what you're talking about workplace culture, right? Like
yeah, kind of.
Identifying acceptable parameters. Like I can say, since you just recently started working at Kendrick's Place of Business, that you, that's in case anyone, you know, knows or doesn't know.
I don't know what you're protecting yourself from, but carry on.
Right, because the thing that would get me in trouble is this podcast, not the other shit that I do. Right. Anywho, when you first started, you were much more, I want to say demure, but really it was neutral. Respectful is the wrong word, because you're not necessarily disrespectful now. Okay, we're all stopping. You're not necessarily irreverent. Maybe you were reverent? I don't know. You were very low-key when you first started, because you didn't really know the culture, right? So you're all professional, and you don't make those jokes, and you're quiet. And now, you're just as bombastic and loud and annoying as you are anywhere else, right?
Which is very bombastic.
Yeah, and it's fine. And you grew into that because no one told you not to, right?
Yeah.
So you just gradually shifted over the last, God, it's been, what, 6 months now?
And that's what I was kind of talking about, like, testing the waters. Yeah, actually. Is it kind of, there's no generic not safe for work thing for me. Like,
well, in that sense,
you're not talking about not safe for work. You're talking about, like,
well, yeah, I was saying that the work culture is a dynamic and squishy thing. Our culture has changed since you started working there. Our culture has changed since several of the other later editions have started working there. Our culture changed when someone was out for 6 months.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
It changed again when she came back.
Did it?
Subtly, but it was, yeah, but it, I mean, none of it's been bad. It changes, there's been all kinds of, without revealing a whole lot, you can think of what cultural shifts can happen when management changes, or there's a division shift around, or different people go to different teams. We inherited a person, we had two sides of our company, we inherited a person from the other side, and that changed the whole dynamic of our side of the building. Like, it really, there's those warnings.
Yeah. Don't say snowpocalypse, don't care.
Bingo. Don't give a fuck.
No apocalypse, no care.
No apocalypse, no care. Anyway, They could tie that in because they did the Star Wars references, right? They could tie that in with the Apocalypse references.
Yeah, see,
the new X-Men coming up.
C-Dot, get on it. C-Dot, pay us money to come up with a better slogan for you.
C-Dot, work on your marketing. I don't know why you have marketing. You're fucking
government.
I wonder
what the not safe for work nuance at C-Dot is. It's like, is it like a government building so they do what they want?
It's like a crapshoot, right? It's either dry and boring or it's just a bunch of work jerking it. Or working it.
And I kind of think this actually goes very, very well. This is kind of a topic that's kind of already run itself dry with regards to what we've already
I got a card up my sleeve.
Okay. I was going to talk about tone policing because kind of where we're going naturally.
Overly
sensitive is not the right word.
The culture at work is very flexible. Like our office is very noisy and irreverent, and no one seems to really be stopping us. As long as you're not right at one of the salespeople's desks or loud enough for their phone to pick it up, they don't really give a fuck.
And even if someone says, gosh, you guys are being loud, it's like, most of the time that makes me feel self-conscious enough to be like, oh, I need to not be this loud again.
But it's not usually, it's more like, I'm going to call people to keep it down. It's like, yeah, sure. And then like, that's it. But it's very much like some kind of, we're not quite a frat house, but we're very not strict professional in our culture, right? I mean, even our boss, you go into his office with the senior dev and you know, they're fucking around with like a back scratcher, right? Like so it's
yeah,
that's fucking back scratcher.
The cat's claw or whatever.
Yeah. That's called. You should see, and he's gotten a little more professional, but he used to be more ridiculous. So my point though is the last office I worked at was not that. We had our humor, but we had to keep it very quiet because like if the director of sales heard you or on the other corner or the vice president or whatever it was she was, you'd get like, she'd like yell at you.
Yeah, and I kind of agree. My last place of work was a lot more uppity. Like, I got that feeling. Even if it wasn't, I got that feeling that, you know, it was like, my last place of work was Game of Thrones, and now where we're working is like, more like, you know, like Hobbiton.
Yeah.
Or like the Shire. Where it's like, yeah, kind of just like, don't be a dick. But there's still, like, a little bit of a political intrigue going on, but, like, not in the style of, like...
Kirkwood.
Yeah, it's not Kirkwood. I would say it's more like the Shire, because, like, in the Shire, you have, like, various Hobbit families doing, like, horrible things to each other, but really, in reality, what it is like, them trying to steal shit from each other. And, like, that's
and
about
like
the...
shit they never actually figure out who owned
it's
in the first
it's
place.
It's about, like, yeah, exactly. Or who's
we've had family. That for hundreds of years. No, we've had
and,
that for hundreds
and then
of
Game
years.
Of Thrones, it's like...
It's a pot.
Yeah.
Get the fuck over it.
In Game of Thrones, it's like... so backstabbing, everybody wants the throne, and it's like everyone's vying for power all the time, and that's what I felt more like in my last one. It was like, holy shit, I don't have enough clout to deal with the political intrigue that's happening at this company.
Right.
Like, at the company I work at now, I don't feel like I would even need that if I had it or not, you know? Like, it's just like, oh, look at that, someone's trying to do something funny again, and then like you get back to work, or like you just ignore it.
Well, it kind of helps that my boss's boss, the CEO, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of transparency.
Yeah, I mean, it's
pretty
flat. And I'm
doing air quotes.
Well, like, but it's also a pretty flat organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
Overall, so like, I have one supervisor, and then his supervisor, the CEO, who I rarely talk to, but I'm on first name basis with. You know, like, that's valuable. That's something. Like, excuse me, I don't talk to him a lot. He frustrates me sometimes, maybe, but like, it's not like an antagonistic relationship.
Yeah.
If I see him in the break room, I'll chat with him.
And
he's just running around, so it's like, hey, bye.
I actually like that. We were talking about that the other day, and it was like, yeah, like, this is one of the instances where someone will actually, most of the people at this company, or the people that I've interacted with, rather, usually will be like, yeah, that was me messing up, or like, you know, like, they kind of take,
yep.
They take on the things that
they
normal people would be like, just
take
ignore.
On me, or take me on, specifically.
Yeah, yeah. Take you on. In a day or two?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't look at that launcher like that.
I did.
Don't do it.
I just did.
It's all black and sultry.
The person inside, like, was doing this weird thing, like, leaning way forward, like, adjusting
his shoes.
Like,
a seizure.
And that's why it caught my eye, because I was like, if that guy's seizing, I don't want to be near him in his car.
So, I do think I want to talk about, like, because we had...
They want to take it to a racial place, and I won't let them.
I want to... We kind of can naturally... What was your card up your sleeve? Say
that the tag for not safe for work is a cultural reference that doesn't actually have to do with work anymore.
No, you're right. I think that the NSFW is just a like placeholder for like this work kind of cultural thing. Like,
it's one of those things where it's, well, what it boiled down to was, don't pull this up because if your boss is standing behind you, because he'll see titties and he'll freak out and fire you. I believe that's actually what the original one was. That's the original acronym. It got abbreviated to Not Safe for Work.
And now, actually, it's interesting because people use Not Safe for Work tags on Reddit to show spoilers. So, like, it's a generally nuanced in certain subreddits that if it says NSFW next to the tag, it's got spoilers in it.
Which basically means caution is all it really is. It's a caution sign.
Yep.
And so that tag took on its own cultural implication.
And I would actually think that explicit is more actually, more...
What NSFW
it's less
was.
Vague. Like, it's explicit means you're about to see some shit that people are disturbed by, or you're about to see some shit that...
Wow, he's going for it.
You're about to see some shit that people, are not okay with usually. And that's, you're right, it kind of takes on that nuance of...
Well, it's kind of funny because explicit, really does mean now what NSFW used to mean, kind of. But NSFW generally means hey, don't just click on this.
Look at careful. What you're doing.
Yeah. Check yourself.
It does say be headed there. It's not behind.
It should almost be CYBYWY.
And I'm going to let all the listeners try and figure out what that acronym is. And if you figure out what that acronym is, and you comment with what the acronym Kendrick just said was on our post.
Did you get what it was, though?
I didn't get that's what I'm asking.
Oh! Crowdsourcing.
Exactly. You'll get a fantastic prize. TBD.
I still owe Gary those fries.
God damn it. Don't tell him that while we're trying to do another contest.
Actually, by now, I probably
don't. But this is a Kyle contest, not a Kendrick contest, so it will actually be followed through. Oh, yeah, by the way, Joe, thanks for, saying that thing you said.
Yes, Joe did it. Ha! He's such a bitch. No, he's not.
That was seven episodes ago, so if you guys don't know what we're talking about, then just listen to all the Sid Suck again and give us more reviews.
He did it with the right intonation, too. I was very happy. I almost couldn't keep my shit together.
Do you want to discuss a little bit of trigger warnings and tone policing and stuff?
Trigger warnings and tone policing. There's some overlap there, mostly...
I would like to say, from explicit, you go to trigger warnings.
Okay, yeah.
And trigger warnings exist, and they are in the same realm as protecting people, tone policing.
Yeah, trigger warnings is a spectrum of things that ranges from... at least in the bombastic and asshole-ish Kendrick world, from one end of, I guess I can see why you do that, and the other end of, oh god, seriously, trying to find a non-sexist way to say this, but put your big girl panties on and learn how to adult today.
Yeah, so I listen to the No Sleep podcast a lot, by the way. Great podcast if you like horror. They basically take all the stories from No Sleep, and they will audiobook them for you, so they'll read them, they'll produce them. Great, great podcast. They had, for a little bit, and a few other horror podcasts as well, had trigger warnings. And then they suddenly stopped doing them.
Someone found their big girl panties.
Well, yeah, and I was like, they did trigger warnings for maybe a season or two. And maybe they still do them on the actual website, but I listen to the podcast on the iTunes, so I don't really get any of the trigger warning stuff.
Small aside, your choices are for me to be sexist. I'll maybe let the viewers or listeners vote. Going forward, it's either put your big girl panties on or sack up. Both of them are kind of terrible, but I can't think of a better way.
I think
way.
You should use the one. Well, if our viewers decide not to vote, you should use the one with the sex that you're more frustrated with at the moment.
Okay.
So if you're God, I'm really pissed off at my.
This feels sort of tumblery, so I'm gonna go with big girl panties. But it's transgender, so I'm gonna go with big girl sack up. I am going to get lynched by someone.
Well, they have to find you first.
Yeah, they have to
talk. Oh, God, there's no driver in this car.
I'll go for the, they have to actually listen to the podcast. When a podcast gets big enough to go through here and find my stuff offensive and then lynch me, it'll be like the end of Stranger in a Strange Land, where I'll be like, yes, and then I'll die.
Where you're like, yeah, we were big enough that someone wanted to kill you.
I literally just referenced Heinlein. Yes. All right.
Wow, okay.
Go ahead.
That was over me. That was more than me.
Yeah, that was old school sci-fi. Anyway, so you were talking about trigger warnings. They stopped. You were in the podcast.
No. That's a good benchmark. Whenever someone tries to kill Kendrick, we know we're big.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll just assume that any version of trying to kill Kendrick
actually, that's pretty big. That'd be really big, because I keep my head down. Crafty.
He's got his head right over my penis right now.
Right over it. Sound
so far down. Oh, God, it's so far down.
Yep.
I don't know how he's talking.
Certainly not, because this is nonsense.
It's not nonsense. He's sucking my dick.
The best part about this is my mom listens to this podcast.
That's
my favorite part.
Well, she hasn't not heard this stuff before. Mom, if you're listening to this podcast too, I'm not that gay.
He's not that gay. He's not that gay. He's not that...
Okay, so, yeah, so trigger warnings are one of those things that, like, I saw for a while, maybe a few years ago, really heavily, and then I stopped seeing, like...
Is that because you unfollowed some Tumblrs?
No, because I never even got them from Tumblr. I was listening to all these horror podcasts like these stories about these horrible, like, situations people got themselves into, or, like a very descriptive viscera, like, you know, very descriptive situations where viscera was involved, or, you know, etc. There was, like... This episode has a bomb going off, so, you know, if you've ever been next to a bomb, don't listen to this episode because of flashbacks or something. And it's like, okay.
In that sense, I would consider those things, in that example, which I realized was a contrived one, in those examples, I would consider that less of a trigger warning and more of a convenient, like when video game ratings, video games actually, the ESRB probably is the best rating system.
Okay.
For content, I would say. Can you think of a better one? Like, the movies...
You mean you don't like PG and PG-13?
Well, I mean, like, do you know what makes a movie PG to PG-13? What the criteria are?
No, but I think, like, well, because you have the ESRB and you have PEGI, right?
I'm not familiar with PEGI.
PEGI is the... Isn't that a video game rating system?
I was only familiar with the ESRB. The reason I like that is there's a pamphlet you can get, and there's actually a very extensive website, at least there was at one point, that outlines precisely what shit bumps something up to the next level. Like, how many instances of swearing, what kind of swearing, how graphic, like, what levels it is to get there. And then the boxes actually say, this is rated teen because you see blood spray. Or this is rated teen because there's some boobies in it, right? Like, it doesn't actually say that, but, like, whatever. Like,
but I like how different those ratings use, are, or, like, where, like... Video games are rated one way, and then you have the
source content.
Yeah, movies are rated a completely different way. Where, like, if there's even one instance of smoking in a movie, it's rated R or something like that.
Yeah, and so that's where I think the video game guys, they got a lot of shit for it in the 90s, and I think that they responded very well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very pleased with how that industry, and then what I find funny is then people still bitch about it, but it's like, they're doing better than every other media.
Then you know, like, how every rating system isn't enforced. Like, it's not... It's optionally enforced by the people who sell the video games. Nobody...
Who rates books, God's sake?
Well, nobody... No legal entity actually enforces any kind of, like, enforcement with regard to...
ESRB. Like,
that or, like... I can't remember the movie one. What is... Who does that?
MPAA.
MPAA. Yeah. All of those rating systems are created by those organizations. And... voluntarily enforced by the people who are selling the games or the people who are, like, showing the movie. Like, that whole they have to have an 18-year-old to go into an R movie thing isn't really a legal thing.
No, but if you break it, you'd lose your contract with the record, with the movie company, right?
Yeah, you can get in trouble for it.
So it makes sense. I like that a lot because it's a fine example. This is my little corner of private regulation.
I was going to say,
regulation. Yeah, a self-regulated
I like that, too, because it's the industry determining a standard for themselves and then following it themselves, just like the whole Wi-Fi thing or, like, the wireless network stuff.
Like, they figure their shit out, and then they make it work. Mm-hmm. And no one has a problem. Like, it's all nice and kosher. Everything's good. Kosher specifically because you just run the media. But not true. It's the lizard people run the media, and they're controlling the Jews. Sorry.
This is getting real deep conspiracy theory. No, it's good. The more people you piss off, the more likely
the more
you are to get popular.
Yeah,
because you'll
be
trying to be killed.
Anyway, so I respect the rating system for that, because I think that it actually does a really good job, especially for parents, because that's the main thing, right? All of us are assholes, we don't give a shit. But even looking at a game, if I look at a game and it's like, oh, it's happy, fun unicorn time, contains graphic sex, and you're like, I don't think I want to know what's going on there.
Like, there's some serious Rule 34 going on here, because that title doesn't match up with that rating. Like,
rated M. You're like, I don't... But I appreciate it, because in that sense, it's giving you an idea of the content. And so when you say those trigger warnings like that, to get back to what we were talking, what I mean is it's almost more like a content warning, where you're like, hey, what? And it might not necessarily be like a trigger. It might be like, if you're not in the mood for explosives and viscera everywhere, maybe steer clear of this one. Or, hey, guess what? This has got guts in it. Good for you.
And I would say that I actually like triggering content warnings, because I can be like, I'm in the mood for this.
But
today,
realistically, that's less trigger warning and more meta tagging, or metadata tagging, right? Because at that point, you should just put it as a tag, contains viscera. And then you can go through and search it, like, oh, I got some viscera on this one. Like, and then you can exclude it if you're irksome towards that. So that's actually, I would consider that less trigger warning and more just tagging.
Well, I guess I wouldn't be searching it, I just listen in if the
beginning. Right, but
of
I still
thing,
mean, like, yeah, from a data standpoint, sure. I'd put tagging on it.
Sure.
And then if you really were bothered, you could just put a filter on saying, yeah, don't show me shit with this on it. And the problem is that trigger warnings have this extra connotation to them where it's like, I don't know, like it goes beyond, it's very subjective.
Because
it's very, very,
like,
subjective.
People are getting offended for, like, no reason sometimes. And it's like, can you please say, like, give me a a like quick but accurate definition of what tone policing is, because like I'm not quite sure.
So I read
exactly
an article about tone policing that was in the form of a comic on a feminist blog somewhere, and the basic overview of tone policing was that one of the ways you can that us terrible cis het white males can overpower and oppress people is by insisting that they be reasonable as a way of toning down their outrage. So if they're all flying off the handle and yelling and screaming and they're super upset about it.
Is you saying flying off the handle tone policing?
Yeah, that's offensive to people who don't have hands.
Who don't use handles, don't have hands, or don't have any pots.
Sure. Or whatever it is that your handle is, that I don't know what that is, but you're flying off it. And so that tone policing was the term for when the person you're talking to insists that you be reasonable and calm down. No one's going to listen to you if you're hysterical. And so it's undermining the validity of their emotional expression in that context. You can tell I'm trying really hard not to do that, to describe this with vitriolic editorializations, because I think it's asinine. That's your defense. Is if I say calm down, you're just screaming incoherently, and your response is you're tone policing me. This is a perfectly valid expression of my frustration or my position. It's like, that's great. I don't give a fuck what you're saying. If you're just going to be screaming at me or you're just getting emotional, that is not how you convince people of your point.
Well, you have to say at some point people can get emotional about something. Like, there is a point at which you can be emotional. But that's not the point you want to be at when you're trying to talk to people about what's happening.
Be emotional. Just know that I don't care. I won't
care.
Like,
in general? Or, like, about someone being emotional?
I mean, if you're going to get emotional at me, I don't care. I won't care. I will care less the more emotional you get. Like, that's an underlying thing. If you try, you don't, and this actually boils down to the thing, because there, what it boiled down to in that one was, you can have a conversation, or no, it's not always a conversation. That was the other thing. Sometimes it's just people yelling at you. It's like, I have zero interest in listening to someone screaming at me about how mad they are about
transgender. So the person was saying it's not always a conversation? And yeah. Sometimes need to yell at people?
Sometimes you're just expressing feelings.
Sure, but like that, I see, so this is what I'm talking about. There's a place to yell at people. There's a place to yell and be angry and emotional. And that place isn't when you're trying to like have people understand your point of view.
And this is
where you do it, your home with your friends.
And the tone policing thing was a goalpost moving, because I was sitting here like, oh, I thought the context was in you trying to convince somebody of something or to talk to someone or converse about a controversial topic. And apparently I'm wrong. And really what it means is if you want the tone policing context is sometimes you just want to flail and wail. And that's great, but then I give zero shits what you're talking about and I'm going
to
zone out.
That's what I'm saying. Don't flail and wail when you're trying to make a legitimate point.
But
because
the
same thing.
By making a claim towards legitimacy, you're tone policing me.
I don't care. Because what I'm saying is that there's a time and a place for mucking around, and the time and a place for mucking around is not when you're trying to be like to come off as a logical person who's trying to convince.
Logic is a cis het oppression method. Because there's also a theory called polylogism.
Polylogism.
Yes, which is...
Is that where you just own a lot of lodges?
No, what that means is...
I like that.
No, what that is that your form of logic is a product of your upbringing and your privilege. So expecting other people to participate in it and use your logic is oppressive.
That's like, that goes way beyond just tone policing. Because
that's another aspect
a creationist getting mad at like... not having to participate in the scientific method yet still wanting to be taken scientifically serious.
Right.
Because you're like, just because my theory, my like structure for validating data doesn't match yours doesn't mean that I'm not like validated in my own data. And you're like, but you're not participating in the system.
Yeah.
Like
you're participating in your system, which is fine, but that's not my system. And that's the exclusive or exclusionary.
Are we gatekeeping?
Kind of.
Dude, we are tying back to so many episodes lately. We actually remember what we do sometimes.
Sometimes. If I weren't drunk all the time.
So what is the final thing is that are we gatekeeping too much?
I guess when it comes to the tone policing and the polylogism is I don't really have an answer except that I see some of it where tone policing at the one end of the spectrum, again, it kind of makes sense. Someone's like freaking out about something and then everyone around them are like, think about it. If you just witnessed a crime and you're like freaking out, you go to like a police officer standing there and you're like, oh my God, I just saw someone shot somebody. He's like, calm down. It's okay. And you're like, but no, someone got shot. He's like, calm down. I can't understand you when you're, and they're like, but that's how people are acting like tone policing is. But the problem is that in this situation, in that context, there's an imperative. And that's where it makes it like a false equivalency. If you're like, there's a fire, it still would be more helpful to be like, there's a fire at this address, and I saw there's some kids in there. We need to go help them.
So while you're screaming,
the real point is
while you're screaming, make sure that you're saying, like, make you're bringing up valid points, and you'll still be okay.
I would say that I don't think it's unfair to expect you to make articulated and intellectual points about your position regardless.
I'd say while we manage to get emotional, we tend to bring back, like, a system of points.
I don't know how we quite got on this topic specifically, but I'll end this with this one, which is that if you really care about your cause and you really care about whatever your passion is, if it's transgender or if it's whatever your flag you're waving is, take a page from the marketing world, the business world, and the history of mankind.
The people who are effectively...
The only way you get people that believe you is killing them or selling to them. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to kill me to convince me of your transgender ways, which would be really funny because people are often preaching peace and acceptance and that and what, and then they're yelling at me and it's kind of funny. And you're like, well, that's peace and acceptance, but fuck you.
Off the point.
The other way is up your marketing game. That's the answer. You don't, and then think about what works as good marketing. Incoherent screaming, not good marketing. Emotional pleading, not good marketing. Appealing to people's deep-seated needs and interests, better marketing. Find common ground. Find things to talk about. We're all human beings. I don't give a crap whether you have an innie or an outie. I don't care what you do with it as long as you don't touch me, and then we're good.
But this exactly goes back to our audience. So we didn't get too far off because our point of this podcast. The not safe for work thing, moving towards like knowing your audience, knowing who you're around, and knowing what types of things you can say, right?
Nice tie-in.
So the whole idea here is know who you're talking to. When you're in your house and you're like bitching about stuff, people that know you will be like, "Hey, I know they're bitching, but like I can understand where they're coming from."
Yeah, that was kind of racist, but I know he's not racist.
Yeah, exactly. I know that is exactly the point. You're like, you look at those people's actions instead of their words, and you have a propensity to do that more when you're in a personal setting. What you don't want to do is go out into the world and start like, you know, shooting your gun in the air to show people how cool your gun is. Like,
yeah.
That's not the way to show people how cool your gun is or your idea. I know, I see him. He's just a little chubby.
He's only got like one eye. And it's a
little... One eye?
He's got like... little guy.
Dude, he's seen some shit.
Yes, he has.
I've seen some shit.
Not no more, not off the
Panera. West side. It's the last thing I ever saw. All right. Well, I'm sorry. The whole idea here is that
there's just got distracted by a dog.
Cute dogs. This is the absence of sock is getting distracted by things. Know your audience.
Who's our audience?
We don't know our audience, but you guys know who you're talking to when you start doing things. I mean, just know. Don't be a dick.
Although that's not offensive. That's offensive to people who don't have dicks.
No. We can just call it Wheaton's rule. Because that's Will Wheaton kind of popularized the don't be a dick saying, and when he's like, and that was at PAX like way long ago. It was pretty good. So if you haven't seen the Will Wheaton don't be a dick thing, we'll link it here. But don't be a dick. You know who you're talking to, and just try to respect people's like sensibilities, just like any person who doesn't want to kill people to change their mind would.
At least respect their humanity if you're not going to respect their sensibilities.
Exactly.
So I guess
that's what we do.
I guess
here
there's a moral. Like we got one. We got to a moral.
We got one.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Kyle.
And this is Kendrick. And I invite you to, if you don't love anyone else, at least love yourself. But probably love someone else too. And wait, I'm going to go into this one. And.